The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Ritter is not a first-round pick,
okay,
just so
we'll
get there. Yeah. There's no way. Yeah. And if Ritter goes in the first round, I'm going to get down and kiss your feet, all right, next time you're here on the show. Wow. Oh, what's up, baby? It's Wednesday. It's before the draft. We're a little more than 24 hours away, and Paulie B is here. Chris Sims here. Chris Sims on Button. What's up? And that was myself with Pat Corain on Monday. We did a little bit of like a segment on fantasy and the draft and kind of how it projects forward.
Yeah.
And of course, yeah, there's a lot of talk lately of like Desmond Ritter going in the end of the first round.
Let me stop you for a second.
Yeah, totally.
I got to say, I don't know what Ahmed thinks.
Yeah.
It's a little weird to see that and somebody else sitting here.
You're right.
A little bit like I'm coming home. Look inside, dining room table, some other dude sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
Having dinner with my kids.
And you're like, damn, they're replacing me already.
I don't know. I mean, I just had this visceral reaction.
I hear you.
It was kind of weird.
I didn't make the call.
Was it good for you?
Here. It was
good for me.
Did you enjoy it? I did. It was satisfying.
Yeah,
yes,
a little variety.
I've had better. Okay. But, no, and you know, I got no say over that stuff.
Okay.
They told me I'm doing this video, help them out, and they said, let's do it right here before your podcast.
Okay.
So I certainly didn't mean to.
No, just, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah,
Tiny bit hurt.
I wasn't cheating on you.
Okay.
I was forced to look at some other options on the menu. All right, that's what happened there.
We may have to discuss what entails cheating.
Right,
the show.
And then, you know, I thought you were going to ask me like, you know, it's just like get down and kiss your feet. I thought you were going to be like, wait, you kissed Ahmed's feet, and now you haven't kissed my feet.
Yeah,
but you're going to kiss his feet. So
yeah.
I thought that's where you were about to go with that.
Not into that.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm not into it either. All right, but I'm just trying to make my points there. Yeah, me, Desmond Ritter, the talk I've been hearing. Oh, maybe four. That's such bullshit. Let me just say that right there. There's no fucking way. I don't
What's
see how
the talk
that
he might go.
There
where?
Might be four quarterbacks in the first round, and he could go at the end of the first.
Yeah,
I don't see that at all. And I don't know anybody with a logical mind in the NFL that's thinking that either.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. So that to me is all draft. Somebody late in the rounds putting out a name like that, so people jump on it.
What's your Desmond over under?
Well,
what would you put it at?
That's a good question.
So it's not 32.
It's not 32.
What if I said 36?
I would still go lower than that. I would not. Let me just say this.
Yep.
After the three top quarterbacks, I would not really draft anybody after that for a while.
Corral, Willis, Pickett.
Right. Those three? Mm-hmm. Sure. Whoever's left over for the early second, you know, it feels like it might be Corral. Okay, he's gone in the first 5 or 10 picks of the second round. See ya. I wouldn't touch one of these quarterbacks for at least 30 picks.
I was going to say, what counts as a while?
Well,
third round?
Yeah, I wouldn't start even thinking about it until then. I really wouldn't. To me, and you know, we're going to hit on this here just a little bit with the big picture of the draft, right? That's one of the things that's the big picture of the draft. I don't mean to change the subject here, but it kind of just naturally went into it.
I kind of did with my jealousy.
Okay, good. But
it's already gone sideways.
But that to me is, all right, themes of the draft. Here we go. People have heard me, and I'm sure you've heard others. Yeah, there's not a ton of superstars in the draft. We know that. I do think there's like three guys at every position where, yes, they stand alone, and then there's a cliff before the next group of guys come up. So there's that. And so there's a little like sweet spot in the top 20 where you go, ooh, there's definitely a different type of player you can get in the top 15, 18, 20 as compared to 20, 25, 28 in that range, right? You hear Brett Veach, Kansas City Chiefs GM, earlier in the week. He goes, good chance we'll be drafting at the end of the first round with nobody that has a first grade
First round grade
on our board.
Wow.
Right. Because I think there's probably a lot of teams, maybe 20, 25 guys got first round grades. But as you may have heard me say, I was close to almost 80 guys that I wrote down somewhere in the range of either 25 to 45 or 40 to 60 or 45 to 65. I stopped counting. I was close to 80 when all said and done.
Wow.
So that's where I think this is a really interesting draft.
Do you think it counts as a weak draft? Because everybody agrees it's an unknown. Like, we don't really know what's going to happen in one. That's unique. One of the next things you hear about this draft, it's weak.
I don't think it's weak. I think people are saying it's weak because, okay, maybe there's just not that standout, like...
But if there aren't 32 players worthy of a first-round pick, to me that sounds like it would be weak.
I hear you. I don't know. I don't quite look at it like that. You know, I kind of look at it more like it's just, all right, it's lack of big-time superstars.
For sure.
That's where
The quarterback thing adds to it.
The quarterback thing adds to the weak. Exactly right. I was just about to say the same thing. But, like, I don't look at a draft in weak, and when I'm going in going... Well, here's the 120th player I'm watching, and I'm going, he's going to start on a team for 8 years.
Yeah.
And he's going to be, I think, a second rounder, but I don't know. He could be in the third with the way this draft is. So that, to me, is not weak. It might just it lacks high-end cream of the crop type of guys.
Agreed.
So that's where I guess I would say it. But I have a hard time saying weak because teams are built through the second, third, fourth round picks, and I see like a lot of opportunities to help build your team. And that, to me, is where the value of the draft is. So you might want to say weak at the top part, but I don't look at it as weak overall.
Weak is something you can go back 3 years later and say that was weak.
Yes.
I mean, I think any draft is loaded with talent. It's what kind of talent is it? What kind of headline sexiness does it have when there aren't quarterbacks, when there aren't running backs? Receivers are pretty good, but I mean, the bottom line, it's about offensive linemen and edge rushers in the first round. It's, you know, huge names.
There's not a slam dunk like, oh my gosh, it's Myles Garrett and he's the guy and we're going with him.
Jadeveon
and we know
Clowney.
It's
a man.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Those are those type of guys. Exactly right. Yeah. Now, I understand that, you know, but I will say too, though, within this that, yeah, you know, you heard me say there's some guys here that I think stand out above the rest and I think are certainly going to be a priority in the top 10.
Yeah.
Because they are the cream of the crop for this draft.
By the way, just to clean something up, Desmond Ridder, our friends at PointsBet, Pete, I think you said 30 and a half is the number. Obviously, you think that is a very good bet on the underside.
I do. Yeah. What was it? What was the number there?
I guess that would be over. That'd be over.
Oh, yeah, I definitely like that. No doubt about it. Yep.
Yeah.
Get your PointsBet app right now and do that.
What's been the main reaction to your mock draft that you rolled out on Monday?
A lot of good feedback. You know, mostly guys are positive and happy or whatever. Hey, Chris, great mock draft. It was really cool. I liked it. You know, I think the main thing I would say is nobody knows exactly what the hell is going to happen with that first pick. That's definitely a real question right now. I think the Jameson Williams, where he goes, I had him attend to the Jets. I think it's a real conversation and certainly get some talk back there. I'm probably a little higher than the rest of the NFL world on the Georgia D tackles.
You've got them both in the top 10.
I got them going 8 and 9.
Yeah.
That to me is, again, but you know, to counter that, Paul, and I told you this a little before we started the pod, I also have a group of friends that I see what you see in Georgia, guys. Mm-hmm. And I think they are worthy of that right there. So, but I would say that was probably the one where, I think, you know, that's that spot where you got them. I think it's a little high. They're going to probably be more in the mid-teens. And then it's about the guys off of that who can fill in that void at 8 and 9 with Atlanta and the Seahawks. So that's probably the feedback I've gotten, let alone some questions about the quarterbacks. And, you know, will Malik Willis go to the Panthers or Kenny Pickett? Or will the Falcons take a quarterback at 8? You know, I kind of constantly got people like picking my brain about the quarterback stuff too.
And you had him, just so we can all roll that out there. At 20, Malik Willis was your first quarterback off the board to the Steelers. And you had at 32 the Lions coming back in to get Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've got him only at 2.
Yeah.
Some questions here, again, thinking about your mock
and
draft.
And they're
Monday.
At 32. They're not coming back, right? They're already at 32.
They're already at 32. Yep. There you go. Yep. Okay. There you go. You're right. So Jaguars just signed Cam Robinson to a long-term extension, reportedly 3 years, $54 million. You had the Jaguars going defense with Aiden Hutchinson at 1. Do you think, did that news make you rethink anything about number one.
The whole week's made me rethink. Pete will tell you, I literally have been going, man, maybe I should just redo the mock draft. Maybe I should. I don't know. I really don't. They've confused things.
Yeah.
They've done a good job if they're trying to mislead the public and leave it up to a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, again, Hutchinson would be my pick, no doubt about it. You know, early on in the process, those were the rumors you heard that it would be Hutchinson. And now there's a lot of talk. And, you know, yes, if I listen to the people I trust in the NFL, I feel like more people now feel like Doug Peterson won the war of attrition down there, and they're going to go offensive linemen. And
I
so,
wouldn't be mad at him if they
I
did.
Wouldn't either. I understand it. Yeah. I totally do. I'm with you there. So, but within that news and things I hear, and you hear it in the media too, I go, oh, maybe I should change things around. And what to me is what I just find interesting is the ripple effects of what could happen there. You know, if according to which tackle they get. Now, with what they just did with Cam Robinson, 3 years, $54 million deal, who's a good left tackle. I mean, he's good. There's no doubt. But if they're going to go O-lineman, that to me now just goes, well, it's definitely going to be Ike Ekwonu.
Because?
Because you got Cam Robinson at left tackle. Mm-hmm. They drafted a tackle last year in the second round of Walker Little. I would think he's going to play right tackle. They got Brandon Scherff at guard. And Ike has real big-time guard potential.
Could you take a guard at one, even if he's a great guard?
Guard with potential to maybe be a tackle down the road? Yes, I can. I could take a guard at one. Would you take Quentin Nelson at one if you had to redo it again?
He's in the right draft, right? He's Zach always Martin. The gold standard.
Right.
Yes and yes.
Yes. Right.
It's just I think as a Jaguars fan, and even if you're inside that building, you'd have to swallow hard. You'd be like, okay, we love this guy. He's going to be a great player. He's the least valued position in the draft besides inside linebacker.
I hear you.
So it would be courageous.
It is. It's courageous.
Yeah.
It's courageous. It's going with a unit where we just go, we're going to be so good here that you're really going to be able, we'll be able to impose our will no matter who we play.
Right.
So I can understand those thoughts. We have a lot of teams in football that are built with elite units that, you know, force the team they're playing to play different because that unit's so elite.
I love going global with it, with a position like that. I think it's great. And it would be a pick to help Trevor Lawrence, which I think has to be top of mind with all these picks.
No doubt. No doubt.
It would just be interesting.
So that's what I think with that. I do think if they're going to go one, it would be Ike. I do wonder, like, or, you know, if they brought Evan Neal into the equation, that gets interesting too.
Where's he go?
Well, where does he go? So, yes, right. Evan Neal did play some guard in college too, but I think he's more of a true left tackle. I don't see the versatility that Ike has. So I don't know. Would they move Neal to right tackle and maybe Walker Little into the other guard position? They have some flexibility there, you know. But the biggest thing to me is this. Tackle off the board at one to Jacksonville. It's the ripple effect that I find interesting. All right, so now Detroit at two. Both pass rushers are on the board. Let's just say they take Aiden Hutchinson because it's a Michigan guy and all that. Let's just for sake of the exercise. Now you get to number three with the Houston Texans, and you sit there and go, well, I bet you they didn't expect to be sitting there going, well, we got a tackle and Trayvon Walker on the board? Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, wait, we have positional needs for both.
Yeah.
You know, my just knowing Nick Caserio, and I have no knowledge of this, but just if I had to guess the human being, I think they'd go tackle there. I think. Especially if it was Ike who was there.
Yeah. That's who you have him taken.
I do.
Yeah.
Right. I think they would do that. And then the ripple effect off of that is now there would be, let's just say Jacksonville goes Evan Neal 1, Detroit Hutchinson 2. Now Houston goes, oh, crap, it's Trayvon Walker or Ike. We'll go Ike. And now you got the Jets at 4, who I got pegged with Sauce. It makes too much sense. You know, you hear rumors and things up here in the New York area. But did they expect to be sitting there going, wait, Trayvon Walker's on the board here too?
Right.
And that, to me, can change the dynamic of the first round. And that's where I'm very interested to see. So Jacksonville's got everybody guessing. I guess I'm leaning in as far as my thoughts and knowledge of people in football that I think they're going to go offensive line, Ike Ekwonu. But I will say, if I was a GM of that team, I don't think I would do that.
Well,
I wouldn't do it. I'd go with the pass rusher.
Good thing about coming off a season that bad, you really can't make a bad choice in terms of, like, there are a lot of position needs.
No, no doubt about it.
So as long as a player turns out,
no doubt,
that's number one. Okay, 8 locks for the top 10 you had. Neal, Ekwonu, Cross, Walker, Hutchinson, Johnson, Sauce, Jay Williams. Anybody else you think counts as a
lock kind of guy?
Yeah.
Oh, and I say that, like, this is, you know, Those eight you just mentioned to me are going to be in the top 10.
Right.
They're going to be in the top 10.
Somehow, somewhere,
almost
some order.
Everybody I know in football, these are the top eight guys. Most people's, I think, big board has the two pass rushers, Icky and Sauce Gardner, as their top four guys. And then Evan Neal's five on some or six on some or right there. I would say that would be more people than I know in football that's their top four.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then I don't know anybody that doesn't think Jameis Williams isn't the best receiver in the draft.
Right.
I know nobody. So that's, you know, he has the ACL thing.
Big deal.
So does that play into it? And does that make him fall out of the top 10?
Yeah.
Right. So that'd be interesting. You know, Atlanta at eight, I could see them maybe doing that. Jets at 10. Sure.
Yeah.
I could see that too. So that's where that gets interesting. The other guy I would say that maybe Kyle Hamilton probably infiltrates that crew right there. Now, it's safety. You know, how much the teams value? Are they going to put the guy? Are they going to really pull the trigger early in the top five on a safety? I don't know if I see that.
You have him 11 to Washington.
I have him 11, but I think he is a guy that can go and interrupt those eight I said in the top 10. So I look at him to be like, oh, okay, here's a guy that – not going to fall past the first half of the first round, but he could upset the order of the first 10. And then off of that, Garrett Wilson would be another guy.
Yeah.
I'd throw in that conversation, Paul, to go, yeah, there's people definitely around football that really have a high grade on him. And if Atlanta's thinking receiver and they're going, oh, wait, we have Jameson Williams, the injury, we need somebody right now, blah, blah, blah. I think Garrett Wilson's their guy that they go with there. So he can upset that. And then Derek Stingley Jr.
Yep.
And again, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Okay. These are guys that I have listed here that I want to talk specifically.
Yeah.
Are you ready to go there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is kind of under the headline of biggest wild cards. You talked about guys you think are locks to be in the top 10.
Right.
So we've picked out some players that count as wild cards, which is really just a wide range of opinions because of the wide range of kind of tape that they have out there. So let's begin with Thibodeau. You have him at 12 to Minnesota.
Right. And listen, I wouldn't even take him at 12, just so you're clear.
You'd take him higher or lower?
I would go lower.
Why?
But I just know that there's hype around him, and there's some teams that do like him.
Yeah.
To me, he's not worth the 12th pick of the draft.
So removing your opinions on him and just what
it.
You think will happen tomorrow night, will you be surprised if he's available at 12?
No, I will not be surprised. He's one where I go, I wouldn't be surprised if he was available at 20 still. I don't know if I wouldn't be surprised. Like, again, I wouldn't do this, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was off the board in the top 10. That's why I say he's the wild card to me.
Yeah.
There are some people to me that have bought into the hype and all of that. And that, you know, and they see a player that, of course, I don't see.
What's the biggest positive narrative on him about why he would belong in the top 10 or even in the top 5 to somebody
that you want
to push back and say that is not who he is?
Right. Well, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, again, he's got the production. He's got a lot of the measurables you like, right? But the production, what I would sit there and challenge people with that really love him and go, let's go back and watch. Let's watch the sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's watch some of the other plays that you're getting. Like, I would go, they're not really that thrilling. It's not like where I go, oh, he just dominated that guy like Jermaine Johnson did or you know, Hutchinson did. It's not even in the same category.
Yeah.
Or like Carl Aftis did. And I can go on. So that's where. And then a stiffer athlete with narrow hips and a narrow lower body, that just scares me. I haven't seen a whole lot of really good pass rushers, edge guys that have that type of body. And again, I'm not rooting against this guy. This is just my job to evaluate.
Evaluation.
I hope he shits on me and he can come on here and tell me about it.
And I would not be mad if he sat here.
Yeah.
Okay? I would get over that. Bigger wild card to me, Derek Stingley. You have him going number 23 to Arizona.
Right.
A couple years ago, if it would be allowed for someone to come out after a freshman year, I think he's top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe a top five.
Probably.
Between the injuries and the range of production and effort we've seen the last couple of years, I mean, he is all over the board. To me, it feels like he's going before 23. Why do you think he falls that far?
Well, you're right. I have a ton of people who, after my mock, I should have said this when you asked me the question too, were like, that's too low for Stingley.
Yeah.
Stingley could go in the top 10, dude.
Yeah.
Dude,
right.
Stingley's going to go in the top 12. I got a lot of that.
Yeah.
Bro, I think Stingley's going to go before that. Again, there's a guy that, yes, I don't love. There's no way I would do it. I thought about it. I kind of just went to the conclusion a little bit with Stingley of just going, you know, I think he's going to be on, yes, a number of teams, top 10 or top 12 picks, but then they're going to get there and they're going to go, are we really going to take the guy whose film got worse over the last 2 years and has an injury issue?
Right.
That's the guy we're going to go with?
Results matter. Production matters.
Kayvon Thibodeau and Stingley, a little bit of their overall assessment to me is back to their Rivals.com high school ranking. And I'm going to go, man, we're just going to let the Rivals.com guy kind of set it up for the rest of the NFL, huh? That's where I'll push back on that. So, yes, but listen, there's one, again, why is he in this wild card part of the conversation we're talking about? Because
of how he played the last 2 years.
Because how he played, and because nobody knows where the hell he's going to go in the top 10 or the top 12.
Right.
Everyone has their guesses. Oh, it's the Texans at 3. I don't see Nick Caserio from New England rolling the dice on Derek Stingley at 3.
Right.
Traditional, conservative New England Nick Caserio roll the dice on the guy that hasn't played much in 2 years and didn't play good? I don't see that happening at all. Like, that would be, if you can get me on the points bet app and bet that one, I'd go, get me on it now.
2 days later, after your mock draft came out, 19, New Orleans, Garrett Wilson, wide receiver, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, Garrett Wilson's another guy that I know I'm a little lower on, but I know there's people in football that have him in, you know, the second receiver right after Jameis Williamson, or maybe one because of the injury concern with Jameson Williams. So he is a guy that I look at to go, certainly going to go somewhere, I think, 10 through 20. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no doubt about it. But he's, again, a guy that could be a wild card for that top 10 to now, you know, some team at 12 might be sitting there going, well, shit, they took Garrett Wilson and somebody stupidly took Derek Stingley Jr. And now we got a player here that we didn't think is going to be here, and he's here.
Right.
And that's why we're talking about this a little bit. So, yes, Garrett Wilson certainly could be one of those guys.
I'm going to tie all three of these together that we just talked about. Thibodeau, 12 to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Stingley, 23, Arizona. Wilson, 19 to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Good question here. Well-timed, Pete, for getting this one in from Max Prescott. He said, which of these so-called consensus players that you have faded this year, Wilson, Thibodeau, Stingley, worries you the most that you might be too low on them?
Wilson. It's a great question. Mac Prescott, who's always asking questions. I like Max. But yes, Garrett Wilson's the guy that I'm worried about. You know, he's probably my sixth receiver on my board, right around there. But I do have some friends who I know, they know some receiver, and they like him. So he's the one that I'm scared of the most.
Yeah.
He is. No doubt about it.
Thinking about receivers, Drake London, you have him 15 to the Eagles. I would love to see him go in the top 10. Why do you have him that low right
now? Yeah, well, 15, again, he's another guy that's in this wild card thing because I think he could be one of those guys that maybe somehow squeaks into the top 10.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's let's say if Jameson Williams off the board, I don't know. What if he goes off the board and now the Jets are sitting there at 10? I mean, could be Garrett Wilson, of course. I know that.
Sure.
But I know a lot of people like this guy, Drake London. I mean, again, there's some things he does at a very elite level. So he'd be one of those guys that, I think is, you know, capable of being in there, that at least at the 10 spot type of conversation. Maybe not going much higher than that.
I look at number 8, and again, I mean, just like loving big-time offense and wanting teams that have been poor to be good again. The Falcons at 8, Kyle Pitts, kind of a different kind of tight end. If they had on the other side Drake London, really big, different kind of receiver, like I would be really tempted by that if I'm in that room.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, you'd have two one-on-one massive
mismatch
nightmares.
Just to give your offense something different than everybody else.
It definitely would be different. There's no doubt. You'd make teams think about how they have to guard you and play you that way. And that's where he's elite. He's going to be a pain in the ass for teams to match up with.
I always put, I know there are other sides of the ball, but Drake London and Kyle Hamilton to me kind of go together in this draft because they're possible top 10 picks with wonderful physical traits and pretty good tape as well. You've got Kyle Hamilton 11 to Washington. Did you consider him or how much in the top 10?
I did. I thought, man, maybe would the Giants do it? Are they a team?
He's linked
maybe
there
a
lot, whether he should or shouldn't be.
You know, Atlanta at 8, they have a safety need. So there was like, I definitely thought he was penciled in on one of my, where I just went, oh, maybe that's the team that jumps in there. So again, there's another guy that, you know, could go all over the place on the board there. And I just think, he's not going to be on the board past 15, but he could be somewhere 6, 7, 8, or 9, too. And that's why he's a wild card there. And then, you know, there's one other question I wanted to hit on, if you don't mind, with Jacob Shapiro above there. Jacob Shapiro asked if I've seen Jermaine Johnson be compared to Chase Young in terms of body type, but do you think he's a better pure pass rusher than Chase Young? And I will say yes. I do think he's a better pure pass rusher.
Then why only 7 to the Giants?
Well, again.
Which is very high.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, if the Jets went Jermaine Johnson at four and the other two pass rushers were off the board or whatever, I wouldn't go, well, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
I would go, I fucking get it. He's made for the Jets coming off the edge, wide nine technique, and just go, that's what he is. Yeah. So, again, it's the top 10's a little bit about needs and where it matches up that way, but I would not be mad if he went a little higher. But, yes, as a pure pass rusher, hey, Chase Young, specimen, you liked him. There was concerns about him, even for me, coming out in the draft a little bit. He is a little stiff. All the things we worried about kind of reared its ugly face last year.
Yeah.
And he had a very – he's not the best pass rusher on Washington. Let's just say that. He's definitely not as good as Montez Sweat. He's got some work to do.
This is a little off the board. Yeah. I want to get to Matt Corral in a moment here. But I like the pick of Jameson Williams, number 10, to the Jets. What kind of pushback, what kind of reaction did you get with that? And I ask because of the need with the team and the fact that he might not be available for 2 or 3 months in the season.
Yeah, I think there's teams with Jameson Williams at 10 there where, again, I think so many teams just go, he's amazing. He's by far the best one. And my thought would be 2022 ACL injury, like who gives a fuck? Like what's that mean anymore? ACLs? Guys are like 6 days later. They're like, I think I can play this week. You know, so I just don't think there's the long-term worry anymore.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're not going to have him for the first 3 weeks next year? Man, I didn't know the Jets were going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Let's just play the long play. Let's play when he gets healthy week six. Oh, shit, look out for us in the second half of the year.
Right.
And then 2023 with Zach Wilson and the crew, and they're all growing together.
Yeah.
Holy shit, watch out in the AFC because here come the Jets. It's the long play. It's not about what he does in the month of September.
Right. And I think you also have to take into consideration they have four, so they're going to have a big-time splash pick somewhere. And they have two picks in the 30s.
I know.
And then they have multiple picks, I think, in 3, 4, and 5. Like, they are loaded.
Loaded.
Why not take a chance like that on a wonderful talent who, okay, you say 3 weeks, it could be 10 weeks. Who knows? He's going to miss some time.
Agreed.
But when you're that loaded in the draft, I think that's a good gamble to play.
And you protect your investment. Your best asset on your football team is your number two pick from last year,
exactly.
Your quarterback,
yeah.
Right? And you know, I said this today kind of jokingly today. Like, I don't care who you are. You need a little help. You need a little help. It helps the fan base get behind it. You know, again, I think Patrick Mahomes is awesome no matter what team he's on. But he got to jump on the scene extra fast because he got put on a team with like, hey, I'm getting in the NFL, and Andy Reid's calling plays, and I'm throwing to the best tight end in football and the most explosive receiver in football.
And I get to learn behind Alex Smith for a while.
That's, right. So I get to do good. Oh, I'm Dan Marino, and I got to jump in the league, and it's Duper and Clayton. And like, well, yeah. So
that helps.
It helps jumpstart you and get everybody to see your talent right away.
Right.
And then that backs off the pressure because everyone goes, well, we saw it. Even though he had an average year four, those first 2 years he was great. So yes, that's why you got to protect your asset and the quarterback a little.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Okay, it's a quarterback, and your number one guy, Matt Corral.
Yeah.
Again, you have Malik Willis going 20 to the Steelers and Kenny Pickett 32 to the Lions. Corral, your top guy, didn't have him in the first round. At lockdown, cornerback asks, why is Matt Corral seemingly falling off people's high-round draft boards? I clearly think he's the best quarterback of the class and has been since 2020. People trying to keep him on the down low, or does the general NFL consider him to be a second, third-round talent?
No, I think there's a lot of people that like their talent. I hear a lot of things. One, hey, there's some off-the-field party stuff. It's not that bad, but you know, some people make a big deal about it. You know, I've heard say like he's not the kind of guy that's going to come in and be the biggest personality leader in the room. Like, you know, when like a Brady walks in the room, you go, oh, fucking Brady's in here. It's his room now. Right. That's I hear people say things like that.
How much do you think that matters?
Well, I think to some teams it does, or just teams that are looking for reasons not to like him. I just want to go, you just don't want to like him if you're getting into that. Because, like, I watched games on TV last year, and I watched the TV game this year as I was evaluating him, and I don't know. To me, he plays with the most, alpha male attitude. He's the one that's, like, kind of talks shits to the other team. He kind of has a little pizzazz and fire. He's smiling with his own guys. I wanted to go, that's kind of the guy I would want to be my quarterback. So I don't know why. But I do think there's some teams sleeping on him that really do like his talent. I do. Just as far as the drop itself, I really don't know what there's there. Like, when I hear sometimes it's a little the offense, but I hear, like, you know, mentally in the meeting rooms, he checks out. Everything's good there. I don't know what the reason is. Obviously, I'm just higher on him.
You think second round is probably most likely?
Well, I think it, or late first. I think that's really, you know, would a team like, you know, I said I think on Monday, like, is a team like Atlanta, if he gets around 29, 30, do they sit there and at their 43rd pick start to go, let's get him now.
Yeah.
Let's go do it.
You can see it happening.
Or,
yeah.
Or do they go, you know what, let's just wait till day two, and we'll try maybe trade up a few picks in the second round to get him. Or maybe they feel like they can just sit there and wait for him. But I am with you at Lockdown CB. He is the best quarterback in the draft for me, and he's the only guy that I think I would draft in the top 15.
All right, as we sit here on Wednesday afternoon, draft coming tomorrow night, first round coming tomorrow night. We're reacting to all things Chris's mock that came out on Monday. Okay, let's move on to this topic. Four guys who you think won't go in round one, but you would definitely take if you were the GM taking for every team. So we just talked about Matt Corral. We'll push him out. How about linebacker Quay Walker, Georgia?
Yes. Quay Walker, to me, after Devin Lloyd, is the best middle linebacker in the draft. He's rangy, long, extremely athletic, bendable, pliable, flexible, amazing in the pass game. He's the guy. I think he'll be the linebacker that comes off the board first after Devin Lloyd. Dean. No, probably not round one. I don't think so. But I don't think it'll be a long wait at the top of the second round. I don't. And I would not be shocked. I wouldn't, again, it'd be another one where if, like, somebody took him at 30 or 31 or whatever, I wouldn't go, oh, man, that's stupid. You know, he's one of those guys I wrote 25 to 45 for.
Yeah.
He's right in that range there.
Let's stay in the SEC. Cornerback, Alabama, Jalen Armour Davis.
Yeah, Jalen Armour Davis, he's another one that I'm a huge lover of. I don't know if I would sit there and necessarily pound on the table, necessarily round one, but certainly towards the top of round two, it'd be a guy that I would look at. And I don't know what the deal is there. He's a guy I would need to call around the league a little bit and be like, what's the deal? Why do we not like the 6'2", 4'3", 9 corner and nobody gets open against?
Looks like a first-round corner when you watch him.
Yeah, he does. He does. And I think he's kind of like just quietly under the radar, and I would be shocked if he's not off the board somewhere in the first half of the second.
Back to the Georgia defense, no surprise, after watching him all season. Safety, Lewis Cine.
He was a guy that, you know, when I do my mock draft, I write down, like, names of guys, and I go, okay, these are all guys that I look at as, like, first-rounders. And, you know, you start to go, I pick 10, and I, you know, cross the guy's name off. And he was one that certainly, like, it hurt me. It hurt not to have him in the first round. Mm. I just think he's a phenomenal football player. I really do. I think he's a phenomenal football. He's the most physical safety in the draft as far as hitting people. His ability to, like, kind of accelerate straight away, drive on balls, it's all, like, really top-notch. So he'd be another one. Again, I don't think he's going to the first round just from, you know, the way my mock played out, from what I hear with teams. It wouldn't be a bad thing if it did, again, just like the rest of these guys.
Yeah.
But that one hurt me. Like, brought a tear to my eye.
Would you rather?
I have a man crush on him.
Would you rather have your team, and this could count for anybody, whoever your team is, have Kyle Hamilton middle of the first round or Lewis Cine middle of the second?
Ooh. Hmm. That's a good one. Kyle Hamilton, you said middle of the first?
Middle first.
I'll probably still go Kyle Hamilton there. I will.
Thought I got
Hamilton's,
you.
Yeah, it'd be a tough one.
Yeah.
It'd be a tough. I mean, the value for Lewis Cine at the middle of the second is what really makes me think of that, what you're saying there.
Yeah.
But I would probably still go with him. Hamilton just does too many things well, in my opinion, to where I go, man, hot, middle of the first round, that's great value for him, too. And I just wanted to get to my – I'm not going to get to it either way.
What are you looking for?
I was going to try to get to my Lewis Cine
– I can filibuster for a while.
My Lewis Cine breakdown here as far as what I like about him at safety.
So how many full notebooks do you have at this point of the draft? Three?
There's three, yes.
How are they labeled? Is it just chronological?
It's I kind of just know where they are. I don't even label
them. You just
know. I just know, like –
Yeah. And you found it.
Right. I found it, yeah.
Sounds like a tight system.
But burst out of back pedal or transition, top-notch, stick his foot in the ground, explode forward. Like some of the best acceleration you'll see at the position. You know, hips not the most fluid, but it's not horrible. And he makes up with the lack of hips with the great acceleration we just talked about to close on the ball. All right? He's got very quick feet, and he's a fearless hitter. I wrote he's a Marcus Williams who just got franchised for $15 million a year, and when they signed the huge contract, with the Ravens. He's him, but with lesser hips, but more physical. So that's where I love this kid. I really think he's like starting day one, get out there, kick ass safety. One of the guy I want to throw some love to, defensive tackle from Ioma from Iowa State, Ioma Uwazurike, excuse me. He's another one where I just go, that's a fringe. I don't think he'll make the first round, but he's definitely one of the best interior D linemen in the draft and like one of my favorite under the radar guys.
Tell me if you feel the same way after doing this for so many years. About 3 or 4 years into studying the draft all spring, I got to the point where the second round was almost more fun than the first.
I would bet you people who've been listening to my podcast would probably for Bleacher Report to hear.
Yeah.
They would probably tell you Sims loves second rounders. That was always my thing. You know, because so many of the times the really good players are in the second round, but there's something about it. There's some bullshit perception a lot of the time.
Or some
the production's not there. DK didn't catch enough catches. He drank a beer. This guy drank a beer once when he was 19. It's all like bullshit always with the second rounders.
I like how these guys always have their eyes closed with the bad.
Yeah, the bad ones. Yeah.
Oh. If they're really bad.
And weird voices.
It's not just the voice that's weird. It's the eyes that are shut, too.
It's those guys that don't have the right perception or media hype behind them sometimes in the second round where you go, man, I can't believe he's here.
And you it was very kind of you, Chris, to leave us a wide receiver headline as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
Pete, do we want to go with the Alec Pierce? Or we want to run the new top five? Let's go Alec Pierce first.
Yeah.
We'll tease there's a new top five.
Sure.
How's that? Okay. Yeah. At Sifo Bain asks, I know you mentioned being too high on Alec Pierce initially.
Yeah,
you had him at three, which makes sense why you don't have him in your round one mock.
Yeah.
Where in the draft do you think he ends up going, and how would you re-rank him in your top five now?
I'd probably have him out of the top five just a little bit. Alec Pierce is probably I don't want to say my worst.
What happened there?
I think I rushed to judgment. He exceeded expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It was longer down the line. If I remember the day I did it right, it was the end of the day.
Caught you at a bad time.
It caught me a little bit. So I got a little excited about what I saw.
Premature.
I turned on the Alabama game after I watched a bunch of plays. I went, damn, he got open against them. I had friends that went like, hey, dude, like I like Alec Pierce. I think you're too high on him. I told you I had some friends also that were like, I put him in my top five. But they go back, like, you need to look at this and this and this. And that's what I try to do after I kind of get it all done. Again, I'm trying to watch all these positions in a very short period of time. He'd be the one I was probably, like, most disappointed with. Releases, some tightness in the hips with certain routes. I think that would be the thing I would look at that, like, kind of bothered me the second time around. Were pointed out to me, too. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, take all that credit.
Yeah.
But that's where, So now he'd be out of my top five. I'd probably make Garrett Wilson six and Alec Pierce number seven.
Some people snack too much when they get caught at a bad time. Some people interact with their family in a bad way.
I'm not perfect.
You rank receivers. It's a little too high.
There's no question. It
was a good
not perfect. Yeah.
Okay. So while I was watching you, did Pete run the top five?
I don't even know. Five? I was watching you.
There it is again. See, there it is.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams one.
I moved Drake London up.
Okay, number three. There you go. Christian Watson, two. Treylon Burks, four. Chris Olave, five. Who'd you just say you'd have at six?
Wilson. Garrett Wilson, six.
He would be
Alec
six.
Alec Pierce would be seven. Yes.
Okay.
Right. I'm an Olave fan. I really like Olave. Olave can do it all to me.
Okay.
He's one where I thought, well, maybe I should even put him higher than five because he's got big playability. You go back and watch film from him 2 years ago. He gets to run more routes and do things that way. He can do it all. You know, London, to me, is just elite because of the size and the route running. And even though I wish the speed was better, in this league, you know, you can get away with it when you have those two other traits to where I go, they're going to find a way to get him the ball, and his route running and size is still going to get him open. The more I watched him and watched crossover film of the corners from Washington and other guys in the Pac-12, I started to like Drake London more and more as I kind of went along.
And you moved him from five to three.
Right.
Two reasons I really love him. Number one, so much of the coverage right now, guys, they're up pressed. They turn their back to the receiver. And a guy with that giant of a catch radius, it's just advantage him.
No question.
And they're not allowed to do anything to play catch-up once they're beat. I'm talking about defensive backs.
Yeah, right.
Hands on it all. Flag is
yeah,
out.
Yeah, right.
It just seems like the kind of guy that would induce a lot of flags.
I think he fits the NFL game more than he does college. I really do. Because of what you're talking about, quarterbacks are great back shoulder throwers,
yeah.
Put the ball in a spot where Mike can get it. He's unbelievable. He's the best I've ever seen at that. And then, you know, I think there's real slot value with the way he runs
Agreed.
Routes.
Yeah.
So you can put him inside and go, hey, you got a big body working in between linebackers and safeties. And
yeah.
That's where he is. And, hey, for the most part, you hear me say it, it's a size league. Guy's got size. There's going to be a number of corners in football that you're going to go, teams are going to play whoever's got Drake London and go, fuck, we can't even put corner 1, 2, and 3 over on him.
What do you do with him?
They're going to tear him apart. We got to think of what we're going to do. And that's where his value is.
So Drake London moves from 5 to 3. And just taking a peek over here, you have him going 15 to the Eagles.
That's right.
How about a little Robin Hood theme? You ready for this?
Robin Hood.
2022 edition. We used to have.
There it is.
I remember that, right?
Man, I would love to go right there and sit down and smoke a big blunt. That's what I want to do.
Who would you bring with you?
That looks good.
You could bring two people. It could be an animal or a person.
Ooh,
two people. Two people get to come to that stream.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
What you got?
Gosh, you're putting me on the spot there.
I think you should bring Pete.
I want peace and quiet. Pete's going to want to like, hey, I read this on Twitter and this guy's saying this. So what do you think, Chris?
How about your German Shepherd?
My German
Wouldn't
Shepherd.
Wouldn't say anything.
It would be great. I would.
He'd be one. Yeah.
I got it. There's like a star that I'm missing that I would.
Like a celebrity that you don't
celebrity,
know?
A celebrity, right, that I would want to be like hanging out with. I mean, I don't know. Gosh, damn.
Player to be named later.
Let me get back to you on that one. Man.
Pete says Bill Belichick.
I actually would enjoy that. I'd love to smoke one and ask Bill football questions. That'd be interesting.
How much fun would that be?
Right. I know.
Yeah.
I know. I think of like Michael Jordan. I think of Patrick Mahomes. I'm a whore for sports stars. All right.
Especially if they're quarterbacks.
Yes. Exactly. Right. So
yeah.
Let me think about maybe next time you're doing the whole. I'll come out right away and go. You know what? I found the guy.
Or maybe you can do it with your new boyfriend who was sitting here.
You're
What's
funny.
His name?
I die. Oh, damn. Pat. He's so jealous, Pat Corain.
I know. It keeps coming up. Okay. Robin Hood is what we're talking about.
So basically,
we have mid to late round prospects. Didn't make Chris's top fives, but Chris still likes this person a lot.
Man.
Sky Moore, wide receiver, Western Michigan.
Sky Moore is the best pure slot guy in the draft. Right.
Everybody needs one.
Yeah. And he's got some outside value, too, because of how strong he is. So even though his size is not great, right? He's got incredible twitch. He's got great acceleration. You know, he ran, I think it was, 4.5 at the combine? But his real ability is how quickly he can accelerate or get into a break and then get out. And then has strength to go along with it, Paul. I think that's kind of the cool thing, too. For a smaller guy, he's got some structure and some muscle to him to where like he's going to be able to handle himself versus bigger corners and press and all that, let alone he's lightning quick to get off the ball. But he's got the strength to kind of like, oh, wait, I'm running a go route and this guy's bumping me and we're going down the sideline. He's not going to get like thrown off balance or get ruined. His body control and strength will keep him right where he wants. Love him.
A couple other wide receivers, Jahan Dotson, Penn State.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson is I think people are overrating him a little bit, but still a guy that I go – holy crap. If somebody took him late in the first round, I wouldn't go, oh, that's stupid. I wouldn't do that. But he's a guy that I look at for like top of the second, mid-second to go, holy shit, you got a guy that can kind of do everything. And he's going to improve your wide receiver room greatly. He can do some of the slot stuff. He can run by people for go routes. So there's a guy that certainly was on that list of possible first rounders that just didn't quite make the list, and I thought, man, this guy's still going to be a real good player.
So, Chris, here's somebody I don't know about at all. So, in 30 seconds, educate me. Wide receiver Calvin Austin III, Memphis.
Maybe like one of my favorite watches.
Another 5'8" crush.
5'8", 179, lightning quick, probably the best acceleration in the whole draft. Right, real route running, like. To me, this is like weapon, slot receiver, kick returner, punt returner extraordinaire.
Why is he mid-round?
That you want on our team. Well, because he's 5'8". I think that's the big thing. And I don't think it'll be mid-round. I think he's your guy late second, third round. You know, hey, I talked to Sauce Gardner the other day.
Yeah.
guy he brought up was the hardest guard for him, Calvin Austin. He goes, I wasn't ready for that. He goes, I was just getting used to corner. And he's like, he's so small and quick, and he used his quickness, and he's like, it gave me issues. I mean, basically to say that it gave him more issues than anybody else. And, yeah, I mean, this is another one I want to dig through my scouting report and tell you all about him, because I do love Calvin Austin. I really do. Here it is. Wait, it's the blue notebook.
It was in the blue. What color is that one over there?
That's green.
And your third one is red. What?
Yeah.
Is red.
Yep, okay. Red, green, blue. But, yeah, quick note, you know, body language, unbelievable route running. Stop-start ability is insane. Has another gear with the ball in his hands. Releases at the line of scrimmage are as good as anybody you're going to find. He's scrappy. He's tough. You know, screen plays outside. And they lined him out there. They're like all the time. Like when I see stuff like that, I go, well, they just think he can win out there all the time. He obviously does that in practice. You know, so, you know, he's to me, almost Tyler Lockett-ish, right? To where Tyler Lockett's pretty damn good.
That's a damn good comp.
I know. And that's where I think this guy, mid, late second, maybe early third, right there, is going to be a steal.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right. That's Robin Hood. I understand we have a guest.
Apparently
did
we
you
do.
Know this?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
A live guest.
This guy's okay. He's all right. I like hanging around him every now and then. But Jay Croucher, our man, I'm just joking, because this is one of my favorite dudes right here. What's up, Jay? How you doing, man, from PointsBet?
Good to see you again, Chris. It's been a while.
It has been a while. What's up, man? What have you been doing? You been enjoying life? Family good? Everybody good there?
Everyone's good. Yeah, I got the third kid on the way in a few weeks. So that and the NFL draft are the focus at the moment.
All right.
Yeah, looking forward to talking some props with you.
Oh, man. Well, you're screwed. Third kid, your life's about to get ruined. All right.
You're talking to two guys with two up here. So.
Yeah, I know.
It's four.
You're on the third. We stopped. We weren't that crazy. All right. Right off the bat. You're sitting there at PointsBet with all those fancy screens behind you. What this draft year, with all the uncertainty at number one and everything, just like kind of give us an overview about the craziness of this year as it pertains to betting and with the draft.
Yeah, it's a total mess. The first pick market, normally there's a bit more clarity. Like last year, just everyone knew Trevor Lawrence was going to go first. And that was just completely done. This year, we've had 9 different favorites to go first overall. So just the total mess. It wasn't that long ago that Spencer Rattler was the favorite to go first. So now we've got Trayvon Walker at minus 300. Still don't entirely trust that, but he is the favorite at the moment. Aiden Hutchinson has slid a lot, and then Ike Mukwonu has risen a little bit. So I think it'll be one of those three, and right now Trayvon Walker is the heavy favorite.
Jay, do you like what's mainly driving this market, this conversation? I mean, I know betting and money, right? But is it also rumors or, you know, things that are, you know, maybe traveling through the grapevine? I mean, what really sets the narrative there?
Yeah, I mean, it's like alleged text messages from someone who might be a cousin of someone who might work at the Jags. Like, this is the stuff that drives the market.
Yeah,
it is all just information. It's mock drafts, it's sources, it's things that get posted on Twitter. But mostly it's sharp bettors who are betting the market. And if they're placing big bets on Trayvon Walker, then we move the market in his favor. But again, it's not like, for instance, in the Super Bowl, we have so much data. There's so much information that we're so confident that the Rams should be 4.5-point favorites over the Bengals. This kind of market, I really can't tell you with much confidence who should go number one or who will go number one, but everything at the moment is pointing to Trayvon.
Yeah. We're talking to Jay Croucher. He's the PointsBet head of trading. Jay, we haven't officially met. This is Paul. Nice to see you. Good to chat with you. I have a good question here from @GoalLineStand2, and this has been on my mind as well. It says, I have a question for Jay. What's the sportsbook's biggest liability for this year's draft?
Yeah, so we don't want Trayvon Walker to go number one overall. That's a big one. We're not in a great spot at the moment. But, you know, this is the nature of the draft, is that, you know, these markets, they are pretty vulnerable, and you can beat them. if you are really studying them and studying the movements. So he's the big one. We would like the Shock Dalpin and Aiden Hutchinson to go first. We still are hanging on to the fact that, you know, all the reporting has been that the owner wants Hutchinson, the GM wants Walker, and the coach wants Okwonu. So hoping that the coach or the owner will ultimately have their opinion, be the one that triggers the pick. But, yeah, at the moment, not looking too good.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm intrigued. I mean, gosh, I know a bunch of people in football, and I think everybody's like, "Who the hell's going to happen at number one?"
Right?
I really don't. And Jay, I don't know. I feel like they're going to go. I think the head coach is going to win out, but we'll see where that goes. All right, two other guys I want to ask you about. To me, are like the lightning rod picks. I don't look at either one of these guys as top 10 picks, but the scouting world, the mock drafts world, loves these guys. Can you kind of give us a little clue of just where things are at with the corner Derek Stingley Jr. from LSU and then Kayvon Thibodeau, who's just been all over the place? Kind of what's that done to your life over there at PointsBet?
Yeah, so Stingley is an interesting one where, you know, his stock, it dropped a little bit. And now in recent days, it's really surged where now we think there's a pretty good chance that he goes 3 overall to Houston. Where he is starting to edge out Sauce Gardner there. But the thing is that, you know, if Stingley doesn't go 3, he could fall out of the top 10 very conceivably because there just might not be as many landing spots for him. It seems like if the Jets are picking a corner at 4, that they prefer Sauce Gardner. I think that Sauce Gardner is the more likely player to go in the top 10, but Stingley might have that higher upside going to 3. So that's been a tough one to figure out. And then, yeah, Kayvon Thibodeau, I don't really understand how everyone has just cooled on this guy, because this guy was, you know, not that long ago, he was minus 110 and the favorite to go first overall. He was thought of in a different stratosphere to Trayvon Walker. And now Trayvon Walker is the guy who's minus 300 to go first. And Thibodeau is looking like, yeah, maybe he'll go 4th to the Jets, or, you know, there's some chance that he could slide out of the top 10 as well. So he's probably the guy who is the most interesting to me, just in terms of, you know, where he will go. He's got probably the broadest range of outcomes where he could go anywhere from 2 to falling outside the top 10.
Jay, I have another curious question, and I don't gamble a lot, so a lot of this is interesting to me, but I'm not quite sure how the details work. So let's just pick out Thibodeau. You're just talking about him. You have him going to the Jets at 4, plus 150 favorite. So if I pull out $100 and say, you know what, I don't think he's going to go 4. Here's my $100. How's that work?
Yeah, so what you can do is you can bet on his draft position over-under. So you can basically bet on you can bet to fade him, or you could bet for him to fall outside of the top 10, or you could look at guys who you know, you think are more likely to go to the Jets at 4, you know, like a Sauce Gardner or potentially an offensive lineman. So if you think someone's going to slide, there are lots of ways to fade them. By betting them to go, you know, later than they're over under, or just betting, you know, the other players at the picks where they're most likely to go.
So if I put that 100 on that pick, and I think you're right, I say, okay, I think he is going to go 4 to the Jets, $100 plus 150, how much money do I get back?
So you get back $150 on that return on Thibodeau.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you got it. Paul's green right here.
Yeah.
So if it's plus one, yeah. If it's plus 150,
yeah.
All right, you're gonna bet 100 and get 150 back.
Okay.
If it was -150,
yes.
All right, you'd have to bet 150 to get 100 back. If that makes it simpler, does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Sort of.
I don't know if I made that the right way.
Yeah.
Or maybe if I explained that the simplest way.
Did he,
Jay? You got it, Chris. You got it.
I got it.
You got
right.
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just didn't know if that was the best way to do it. So,
no.
Yes, that's how it works.
Okay.
I think these two guys are really interesting in the convo here. And just for the points bet people out there that might be watching, I'm just one that would tell you, fade Derek Stingley and fade Thibodeau. I would. First off, here are just my Texans to 3 with Derek Stingley. Conservative Nick Caserio from New England.
You don't like it.
I just don't see him going, let me go with the guy whose best film was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. That just to me. And Lovie Smith is there, who doesn't believe in shutdown corners. He plays cover 2. He got to Tampa with Darrelle Revis and is like, why are you here? We play cover 2. I don't need you. So that to me would be that. That and Thibodeau at 4 to me, I'm just adding my 2 cents, Jay. I'm trying to be like you and give the bettors an angle here. Jay, here's the next question. Quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where the hell? Where the hell? What the hell?
Yeah.
What's going on? What's the market like? Like, it's I've never seen anything like this with the quarterback conversation in the draft.
Yeah, again, total mess. Who knows what's going to happen? We might see, you know, right now we have the over-under at 2.5 quarterbacks being taken in the first round. Obviously, the two guys most likely to be taken are Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett. I expect they will both be first rounders. And then the real, I guess, hinge point then is, you know, is someone going to take Desmond Ridder or Matt Corral in the first round and potentially, you know, with the last pick of the first round. But yeah, I mean, for us as bookmakers, it's much easier when there are just superstar quarterback prospects because they just kind of form tent poles in the markets where, you know, last year was easy at the top. We just knew Trevor Lawrence was going one. We knew Zach Wilson was going two. And then the pivot was going to be who goes three. So this year, much more complicated.
Where do you have Pickett and Willis going?
Well, yeah, I mean, right now we have Willis going. His over-under is around 15.5, and Pickett is 17.5. I think that the most likely team to take Kenny Pickett and Willis at this point in time would be the Steelers and the Panthers. They're probably the teams that are most likely to get involved there. But I mean, there are so many quarterback needy teams that they really could go anywhere in the 20s. And there are teams as well that, you know, I think that might be willing to trade up.
Right.
Because to get a quarterback, you know, you're not having to trade up for, you know, pick three like San Francisco last year. You're potentially having to trade up for like pick 28. So there's much less to give up. And, you know, you just look at the teams like, you know, not just Pittsburgh, Carolina, but teams like Seattle, New Orleans, Atlanta, maybe, you know, Houston seems relatively content with Davis Mills, but, you know, if the opportunity arises, maybe they could get involved. So, yeah, it's just kind of it's chaos with the quarterbacks.
Wait, I was going to say, like, you know, just off of that, like, have you ever had a year like this that you remember where just the first round seems to be such a crapshoot and just no feel? Does it make it better for you guys or worse that it's kind of all over the place like this?
Worse, yeah, worse.
Yeah.
It's much more difficult to price when there's just so much uncertainty everywhere. Like last year, at least, you know, knowing the first two picks and knowing that, you know, there were going to be ripple effects from three, and we were pretty confident that Atlanta was going to take Kyle Pitts. This year, it's just a mess at kind of every spot. And I can't really remember a year like it. The only thing I can remember as a parallel is in the NBA, the year that the Cavs took Anthony Bennett first overall out of nowhere, and there was no real star pick. But in the NFL, there usually is the quarterback, at least one of them, who we know is going to go in the top three or four. But this year is, it's chaos.
If you could take us behind the scenes with what's happening with Desmond Ridder this last week, because, I mean, it wasn't too long ago. Most people thought he was a second or third round pick. Now he's, some people will tell you he's likely to go in the first. I think you have his over-under at 30.5. What's happening there?
Yeah, Ritter's a really interesting prospect. I think a lot of the advanced numbers really like him. A lot of the advanced scouting likes him as well, sees him with, you know, potentially more upside. And so he's a guy who at one point he was 50-1 to be the first quarterback off the board. And those odds have shortened significantly. Still don't think he's going to go above Willis or Pickett, but, you know, he's a guy whose stock is definitely rising. And he's surpassed, you know, the likes of Matt Corral to go, you know, in the top three quarterbacks. So right now we think he's a pretty solid bet as the third quarterback off the board.
All right, last one. I just want to play with you here a little bit. Just two guys, just because there's only one linebacker that everybody agrees is going to go in the first round, right? So the two Georgia guys, just that. There's N'Kobe Dean, which is the popular first-round pick. There's a guy named Quay Walker, who I love, who I think is the second-best linebacker behind Devin Lloyd in the draft. Over-unders are right in the 30s range there. You know, what's your feel with the linebacker market, and do you think there's a way that maybe one of them sneaks in the first round there?
Yeah, I think Quay Walker, his stock is definitely rising. To me, the interesting thing with these guys is, you know, how much are teams looking at what Micah Parsons did last year?
Right.
Where you look at, you know, what is happening, what that guy did to that Dallas defense, taking them to a top three unit in the league. And so someone like Quay Walker, who has, you know, immense upside, his measurables are off the charts, his speed is next level. I think he is a guy that definitely could sneak into the first round.
Man, oh, man. I think that's going to have to be it for Jay Crouch.
He looks a little stressed more than normal. I can tell it's a crazy day. He's pulling hair out. He's going, I don't know what play to make betting this week. I don't know what the hell to go.
I'll give him credit. He didn't try to cover that up either. He's like, this is kind of stressful.
Well, he kind of let it know. He was like, yeah, this is not good for us. We don't know what the hell's going on. That's not good. Jay, always love talking to you, man. Thanks for giving us a little info there. Good luck with the draft. All right. And we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully we'll talk to you next week, man.
A pleasure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. See you, buddy.
That was fun. So that, I mean, I feel like I'm the perfect candidate to keep him here for like 6 hours because I know enough about the draft where I've got questions. I really know very little about gambling, but I'm curious. Yeah. I love hearing about it.
No, I know. We know you know nothing about gambling after that.
It's all right, right?
50 questions.
No,
it's fine.
I don't.
I know.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. I like that you asked.
I know
it.
Over-under.
Yes.
I mean, I know they're going to win or going to lose, but like plus 150 or negative 220.
Yeah, I know. If you're not paying attention, you don't know what the plus or the minus means, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So I know. Yeah. That's what's
I could have kept him all day.
Plus is good.
Plus is good.
Plus is good.
Fade.
Well, yeah. Fade means you're just kind of going for the under, the bad, right? The under.
Okay.
Thibodeau is at 4.5 over under. I'm going to play the fade. I think he's going to go after 4.5.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to fall there. But yes,
it's all interesting.
Plus
stuff.
150 is a good thing. That means you can only bet 100, and you can get whatever that plus number is off of it. When it's minus, you have to bet the that number that's the minus just to get the 100, if that makes sense. I tried to explain it that way, but we'll have a deeper talk about it later.
I would like to. So is this like Jersey degenerate sort of thing? You're just around it, so like it was embedded in you, or did you learn it for the business?
No, I definitely had some friends, even I feel like in high school, that were already starting to gamble, and yes, they were from New Jersey, fitting right in. And my friends from New Jersey, they have PointsBet app, all right? And if you want to get in on this, all right, Paulie?
I do.
Is right here.
Look at that.
PointsBet Perfect 10 presented by that asshole, Chris Sims, right there. That's right.
That has been Photoshopped. Someone spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah. All right, look at that. No, it's just professional pictures, and it was all set up to make me look really good, and I'm sure they airbrushed it too, all right?
I think so.
But the PointsBet Perfect 10 presented by Chris Sims. Stop being so sure that they did it. Like, you don't know. Maybe I'm that good looking.
Over under a number of hours someone spent on making that look really good. 3.5.
Three and a half hours. All right, here we go. PointsBet Perfect 10 presented by Chris Sims. All right, here we go. If you've been listening to the pod over the last few weeks, you know that I've been giving you insight and analysis to help you make you smarter as it comes to the draft. Our partners at PointsBet, my man Jake Croucher, as you just saw and listened to, have been listening as well. And we've cooked up a contest that you won't find at any other sports book. The PointsBet Perfect 10 presented by, Christopher David Sims.
David.
That is me. Mm. Why Perfect 10, you ask? Because, you got to do that. You got to be exactly perfect in selecting picks 1 through 10 on Thursday night. And if you're perfect, you can win $100,000 in free bets from PointsBet. All right, so here's how it works. Go to PointsBet.com or download the app. If you're a new user, don't forget to enter code HOMIE to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. All right, so code HOMIE. That gives you $2,000 in free bets, all right? Once you're signed up, or if you're already a PointsBet user, head to the promos page and opt in to the PointsBet Perfect 10 contest, all right? Opt into the PointsBet Perfect 10 contest. After opting in, go over to the 2022 draft betting markets. You'll see individual betting markets for picks 1 through 10. From there, place 10 bets with the stake of your choosing. It can be as low as 50 cents. You'll need to place exactly one bet each, though, from 1 through 10. Everybody got that? Doesn't have to be a lot of money, but you got to bet 1 through 10. Get your bets in prior to 9 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, and then sit back, relax, and wait to see if you can be $100,000 richer.
Whew.
That was the longest one of the year.
That's a lot of words. Pete says, and the top guy will be on the podcast? The top man or woman?
Yes.
Will be on the podcast.
Whoever gets it perfect.
Yeah.
Whoever has the best score, we're bringing them on the pod.
That's awesome.
So they can tell us how perfect they were.
Will they be sitting here, Pete?
Well, hopefully.
Will
we're
they be sitting in the spot?
We're kick your ass out of here in a hurry.
You're fading me.
We're fading you.
Fade Paul.
Yeah.
Fade Paul.
You're an underdog. You're a minus 150.
couple of thoughts here.
Yeah.
If you go 1 through 10... I think it should be, and you get them all right.
Yeah,
I think you should get more than $100,000. It seems like it should be worth like 250.
Yeah.
Negative, well, 250.
Tell that to Jay Croucher in Points Bet. You want to get your own money? You want to throw in there? Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. I was thinking about you in the USFL booth over the weekend. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was doing a read.
Right.
And they hand it to you now. Like, it's not in card form anymore. It's right. Like on an iPad. But the iPad wasn't clean, and it was a night game, so there was a glare from the lights. So I had to like find the perfect angle to get it right and have a chance at reading it okay.
Right,
and
right.
I thought about you and how well you do these.
Yes,
I'm like, well, shit, Chris would do this well,
and you got it done.
So I had better get it together. Yeah,
right.
I did.
All right, good, yeah. Good. That's good. Good yeah. Job.
Went
good.
Fine.
Good.
It went fine.
Yeah. All right. There's Paulie. Paulie taught us about his lack of gambling experience
yeah.
Today.
Yep.
iPad reading.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Paulie's coming over for the pod. For the draft tomorrow.
Excited.
We got the crew coming over.
What should I bring?
Nothing.
Come on.
Absolutely
nothing. My wife won't let me go to somebody else's house for like a dinner-ish kind of thing without having something.
Don't bring anything. Don't worry.
I'm going to come with something.
All right, fine. Bring a bottle of wine for my wife. All right. She'll be happy with that.
Okay.
Right? If you got to bring something.
Red or white?
Red.
Okay.
Right? All right. She's Italian. She likes red. All right. That's it. You got the pod there today. We didn't even get to all my Robin Hoods.
No, we
you
didn't.
Know? But it's okay.
We didn't.
I'm going to throw them out
me?
There right now.
Me?
No, we had to go. We talked too much. I'm going to throw them right now just to give them the love. My man Tyler Smith from Tulsa.
Yep.
Tackle, guardish in the NFL. Love him, killer. Josh Pascal, Kentucky. Defense end, second rounder. To me, one of the best edge guys in the draft. Drake Jackson, USC. Probably not till like the third round. But it got all the body and measurables
yes,
and things
does.
You like to go, you know, maybe he does go the second round. Maybe I'm wrong, but I love him a lot. Dominique Robinson from Miami of Ohio, one of the most natural pass rushers in the draft as far as bend, get off, some of the true things you look for, you know, as a rusher. Cam Taylor Britt from Nebraska. All right, that's another guy, corner, incredible acceleration, explosion, a little stiff, plays a lot of zone, but there's something there to the guy. Nick Cross, safety from Maryland, kind of a freak of nature athlete who's a little raw. Typical Maryland guy, in my opinion. And then center Cam Jurgens from Nebraska. To me, would probably have been like the next guy I would have ranked seventh on the all-line draft or whatever. But I think he goes somewhere in the mid-second, late second. He's a really good start right away center in the NFL. So I just wanted to get all those in. I'm going to give love to those guys. Check us out Friday.
Please.
Friday morning, we're going to do PFT, Florio.
Okay.
We're going to do a draft recap. That will be the podcast. So if you'll hear a Friday draft recap podcast, it'll be with me and Florio. And then Thursday night, going to be on social media the whole night. We're going to do some things on Twitter with every pick. I'm going to give a breakdown of the pick, what makes sense for the team. I think we'll probably even get on some little Instagram Live. So you'll see us there from the barn at my house. Paulie will probably be in the background.
Yes.
And let's have some fun with a bottle
of
wine.
Bottle of red.
Right, right.
For the missus.
Yes, for the missus. Yes.
Yeah.
So everybody enjoy the draft. Keep the questions coming in. Pay attention draft night. You know, I'll be on social media listening on Friday. Hope everybody enjoys. Be good. Paulie.
Good to see you.
You're the man. Good seeing you.
I'll see you at your house.
See you at my house.
Yeah, see you at your house.
Bring your A game, kid.
I will.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.